Now, it's always good to reflect on our calling and ask that question, why was I called? Why were you called? What is the reason? And, we have many messages on that about God wanting to create a family, and he does. But he's called us to hear his words and to change, to overcome evil and to do good. God has called us. Now, over the years, we hear many are called, few are chosen, and some hear that calling and they just don't go to the point of becoming baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit. But it also talks about in Scripture that there are those who don't want to hear the word at all. And, God is the ultimate judge, but we see that there's some people that have left the truth. And in most cases, they didn't leave saying, I know this is accurate, I know this is right, I'm not going to do it anymore. That's not why you really hear why people left. For the vast majority, you see what they say, you see what they're doing, and they've gotten off track. Is it possible that we could get off track? And I know we know that answer. And, the letter from the president, he was talking about being about our Father's business. If you read that letter, and if you haven't, I encourage you to do so. Mr. Kubik has many friends on Facebook, I'm told. But he mentions in that letter that there are a number of people in the organization, in the body, UCG, however you want to put it, that have been very anxious and very upset about what's happened with Mr. Trump, what's happened with the Georgia election, where they were very involved in the world. And so he talks about that. And he's in his letter, he's having us get refocused about what should we be doing. And it's about being about our Father's business. The title for the message today is, What is Evil? What is evil? Now, evil can be very obvious, right? We say, what's evil? Let's list some of the obvious things. Thou shalt not murder, right? Thou shalt not kill. For us in here, thou shalt not commit adultery. We know about idols. We know about not keeping, pagan holidays, et cetera, et cetera. We can list a lot of things that are evil. But what about those other things that are not so obvious? You look at the letter from Mr. Kubik, and he talks about the violent chaos. He says, let me speak plainly, as he gets into about a third of the way down. I know that many in our assembly preferred the current U.S. president and hoped that he would be reelected. I know that there exists many theories and concerns regarding the veracity of the election, the election process. I personally have been warned in previous columns. Even warned in previous columns of turbulent times before and after November 3rd election. Many have been anxious and fearful. And this is within the church. God tells us not to be anxious. He tells us to not to worry, to not be fearful. So, yes, we can see evil in a sense and the obvious ways, but what about the not so obvious ways? Are we willing to see the evil that is around us? Are we willing to see what it is? Are we willing to flee from the evil of the world? And as we go through the message, we should be asking ourselves, is there any evil in me? Is there any evil in you and I? And are we willing to look at the evil, and are we willing to get rid of it? Let's turn over to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. Two verses over here in Amos chapter 5. Read verse 14 and 15. Amos 5, verse 14. Seek good and not evil. So we're told, seek it. Seek the good. And don't seek evil. Why? That you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you as you have spoken. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you as you have spoken. God says if we're seeking good and getting rid of evil, he says he will be with us as you have spoken. Verse 15, hate evil, hate it. Love good. So, you know, you look at that statement. He's telling us to do something. He's telling us, the words are telling us to change who we are. Change our pursuits. Establish justice in the gate. Wherever you are, establish justice wherever you are. Godly righteousness is what it's talking about. That it may be that the Lord of hosts will be gracious to who? The remnant of Joseph. We are the remnant of Joseph. God has given us these words to hear. We get a lot of information, don't we? Now, let's turn over to Mark chapter 10 for those who want to turn and follow. Mark chapter 10, I'm going to ask the question, can we be good on our own? We hear a lot about that. You know, that, well, these people next door, they're good, and Mr. Trump's good, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he's what's best. He's what we need for the nation. We'll talk about that in a little bit down further in the message. And we want the best for Mr. Trump. We want the best for all individuals. Okay? Mark 10, verse 18. I'm in Matthew. I wonder if that wasn't making sense, but Mark. Or see, an individual comes and asks Christ some advice. He wanted eternal life. You and I want eternal life. Verse 17, let's start. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came to him, knelt before him. This is Christ. He was going out on the road. Someone came and knelt down before him and asked him, "Good teacher, So, Jesus Christ, good teacher. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? What are you looking for? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. And then he lists these commandments. Do not commit adultery, right? Don't be evil. Do not murder, right? Do not be evil. Do not steal. Do not be evil. Do not bear false witness. Don't be evil. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Don't be evil. He's telling them, be good. And he's telling them, there's no one good but one, and that is God. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. These are things I know that are evil, and I put them out of my life. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Christ loves all people, hates the sin. We're all sinners. And he said to him, one thing you lack. There is one thing you do lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your stake, and follow me. Christ was telling him to take up a full surrender, to dig deep into who he was, that through Christ he would be able to see how much better of an individual that he could be. He wouldn't go further, though. It says, but he was sad at this word, the word from the Messiah. And he went away sorrowful, for he had many possessions. So he was a wealthy individual. He was willing to keep the letter of the law. He wasn't willing to go out further and to truly give up what he had. He was holding on to something that he wasn't willing to give up and put God first. Jesus Christ says, I have a new commandment, right? He tells us through the Holy Spirit that we love one another. So it's a deeper love that we are to come out of the world, focus on coming out of evil, flee evil, and do good. We are to love one another. Can we do good things and still be evil? Let's go over to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. Now you see sometimes on just this past week, channel, you know, we have society and their thinking and how they can so easily hurt other people, so easily steal from others. Yet they're very giving to their own children, their own family. Take from someone else, provide for their own family under that roof. Luke chapter 11, verse 13, talks about that. Talks about the ethics, our ethics. Luke 11, verse 13. So it says then, if you being evil, all right, God doesn't want us to be evil, but he's letting us know that we need to be seeking God's way of life through the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome being evil. But if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we're willing to do good to our own children, but it's talking about here that the evil here is, in an ethical sense, deciding for ourselves what's right and wrong. You are evil because you're deciding for yourself what is right and wrong. You can still do good things, but you're not seeking to go above and beyond the letter of the law. To give of yourself, to truly be love. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Christ, God, is willing. He did die for us, gave up his life. And he asks us to do the same. This individual was not willing to do that. He was looking at the obvious things of evil, but wasn't willing to look deep down in. He was more concerned about himself and his possessions. God wants us to replace the evil in us and rely on him. I'll turn over to Matthew. Because we are swayed by Satan. Satan is there to attack. He's there to tempt us. He's there to get us to disobey God. Matthew 12, verse 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, this is what Christ is saying. So an unclean spirit, a demon, he goes through dry bones, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds him empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. If we're not willing to get rid of evil, then it says that, and we know we're supposed to, and we've been looking at society, look what's happening. The character of individuals, what God does to an individual, what he allows Satan to do to a person that will not change. One spirit can lead to more evil spirits, more confusion. We want to get rid of the evil. We want to do what is good. Now, Satan is very subtle. Ephesians 2, verse 2, I'm not going to turn there, but he's the prince of the power of the air. He can influence us. He's there. He wants us to disobey God, as Mr. Tuck talks about in Romans 8, 7, that we have to overcome. That we have to overcome. Let's go over to Genesis, where Satan begins, just for our foundation here. Because Satan is very subtle. And that's where we get to that point that, is it possible that we could be off track? Is it possible that we're so focused into this world, we think we're doing things right, that we have to have a certain person or certain party to be leading us before we really go down the tubes as a nation? Could we be being misdirected? Genesis 3 says, verse 1, Genesis 3, 1 says, now the serpent was more cunning or subtle. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. Subtle. Subtle means sly, crafty, shrewd. even seems sensible. Satan seemed sensible, didn't he? Eve was deceived after being instructed by God. Also, let me give the example of subtle, making use of clever and indirect methods to achieve something. Satan wanted Adam and Eve to not listen to God, but to follow him. So in verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, you shall not touch it, lest you die. And just before that, in verse 1, Satan says to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So God says you can't eat of every tree? And then he says, after Eve had made that remark, what God had said, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You know. Now, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. We wouldn't be like God, knowing good and evil. God knows good and evil, and God doesn't sin. We do not have the character to move away from God and to do our own will. We just read that our ethics are contrary to God. Satan got Adam and Eve to decide for themselves, to follow him. Now, John 8:44, just let me read it to you. Because Satan is a liar and there is no truth. No truth. We can look at this segment of scripture that we just read and say, well, there's some truth in that. Is Satan being subtle? Is he being sly? Is he being crafty? God tells us there is no truth in Satan. John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. And he's talking to those individuals, the religious leaders, that they didn't want to change. They didn't want to hear what Christ had to say. They were listening to their father. They didn't know they were deceived. He was a murderer from the beginning. Isn't that what he's doing to murder Adam and Eve? He wanted him to die. You won't surely die. Christ is saying, no. He was a murderer from the beginning. And does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. There's no truth in Satan. When he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and he's the father of it. So what is evil? If we look at it from this perspective here in Genesis, evil was not listening to God, but listening to Satan. Evil was being deceived. Evil was willingly disobeying as Adam had done. When we don't follow God, we just read, you are of your father, the devil. It's deciding for ourselves what's right and wrong. And the desires of your father you want to do, Christ just said. In other words, it's leaning to our understanding, our desires, as it tells us in 1 John 2:16-17. We become puffed up. We come seeking for the self. When we lean to our understanding, the resources are coming from not God, they're coming from Satan. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan was very subtle. Very subtle. He does that with us as well. Now, the tree of life was to fully rely on God. That tree was offered to them. Over here in Genesis, eternal life was offered to them. Genesis 2, verse 9, and out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and for good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And verse 17, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. But of every tree, verse 16, of the garden you may freely eat. You can eat of every other tree. Even if you go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it. The tree of life was being offered to them. Eternal life was being offered to them if they followed God's instructions. Now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is going contrary to the Word of God. It's Satan says, oh, you don't have to listen to God. You can decide for yourself what's right and wrong. You won't surely die. Your eyes will be opened. And you'll be like God. God cannot sin. God cannot lie. We just read that Satan is a liar. Romans 7, you can just write this down. Paul says in Romans 7, 21, he says, evil is present. It's present with me. It's present with us. And meaning Satan is around us. It's there. Wanting us to have bad character. Right? That's what Satan wants. Bad character, bad conduct. Paul is saying, what I want to do, which is I want to do what is right, but I don't always do it. I still do what is wrong because evil is present with me. We live in Satan's society. Satan is around. He's enticing us to sin. He was enticing Christ to sin. Yet God has given us his spirit, as you read over there in Romans chapter 7, you drop down a few verses, 24 and 25, that God will help us. We need God's help. When Satan attacks, when he's there, we don't listen. We draw close to God, as we'll touch on in here in just a little bit. Isaiah chapter 5 says, woe to those who practice evil. Woe! It's a warning. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good. So if we are looking at evil, and we're allowing it in our lives, we're accepting it. Now, some blatantly We look at this sometimes. Woe to those who call evil good. Well, we can see on the surface, oh, that is definitely their, you know, homosexuality, murder, stealing. You know, you can list those things. But what about the subtle things that we may not see? Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. Woe are those who lean to their own understanding. Psalm 37. I'll give some practical application here in just a little bit. Psalm 37. But it's not that I need to be up here and pointing out, you know, the do's and the don'ts, right? God has given us His Holy Spirit. Yes, He's given us the ministry to teach His Word. But we also have a duty, an obligation, a covenant contract to allow God to feed us with His Word, the Bible, with His Holy Spirit. I, as a minister of Jesus Christ, am to teach the Word of God, not my opinion. And sometimes, you know, that opinion can come out. I don't want it to come out. I don't want to mislead you. I don't want to mislead myself. So we have a personal relationship, right, with our God. That's our calling. God wants to give you everything. He gave Christ everything, and He wants to give you everything. Rulership. It's not being offered to anyone else. It's to those He's calling now, before the return of Jesus Christ. Psalm 37, start in verse 27. Depart from evil and do good. Third time we've heard this. Specifically, evil and good. And dwell forevermore. And you can dwell for eternity. But you have to get rid of evil. And you have to do good. Those are the two points throughout the message. It's to depart from evil and do good. For the Lord loves justice. Talk about that here in just a little bit. And does not forsake His saints. He's not going to forsake His saints. We don't need to be worried about who needs to be in charge, who needs to be the president, what party is in control. God says, I'm not going to forsake my saints. This world, this society, Satan's kingdom is coming to an end. Believe it. It's going to happen. Because the saints are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. So what do we want to be? Very encouraging if you look at it from that perspective. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. That's what we speak. We speak godly wisdom. When we're getting involved in the world and attached to the world, we're not speaking godly wisdom. We need to be speaking godly wisdom. And His tongue talks of justice, true justice. Do we see that in our leadership? This comes out of the mouth, then this comes out of the mouth. The law of His God is in His core. The Holy Spirit. When we speak evil and we practice evil and we live evil, God can't be in a person. Look at it for what it is. Look at society and look at the individuals. Don't judge or condemn them. You should know them by their fruits. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. Yep. When we're godly, Satan's going to attack. And he'll get people to attack as well. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, though, nor condemn him when he is judged. Nope. Wait on the Lord, verse 34, and keep his way. That's what we need to do. And Christ's day, the disciples, they wanted the people. They wanted Christ to come up and say, you're taking over this Roman Empire. Christ said, no, not yet. One day, we got things to do first. And keep his way. And he shall exalt you to inherit the land. That's what we need to be focusing on, is to do good, to shun evil. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I have seen the wicked in great power. We see that as well. And spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. The wicked will perish. Verse 37, mark the blameless man and observe the upright. For the future of that man is peace. Peace. Jesus Christ lived peace in a turmoil, a world full of turmoil. He was of peace. He wasn't anxious. He wasn't worried. He was of peace. He was at peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. That's who we go to. Doesn't mean he's going to eliminate the trouble, but that's who we go to. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked. We're going to be delivered from Satan. We'll be delivered from those who want to hurt us. And he will save them. Why? Because they trust in him. They're not going to listen to some sly, clever individual and fall for that snare, fall for that trap, because they have a relationship with their God. You know, we are to flee from evil. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, I'm not going to turn there, but we are to even abstain from the appearance of evil. What crowd do we hang out with? What locations do we go to for entertainment? We're not even to be looked at as being any part of evil. I'm going to turn over to 1 Peter. You know, Galatians 6, if you want to jot it down in your notes, is that we are to examine ourselves. Instead of being focused on the world and what's going on in the world, and we got to try to, you know, keep it going, we are to look at ourselves, to examine ourselves, to see if we're in the faith, as we heard in the sermonette. Our faith is going to be tested. That is for sure. Because God wants to know without a doubt, what is your character? And help us to get back on track. 1 Peter 1, verse 7. And I think this, we can look at this, we don't want to look at this as doom and gloom. We want to look at this as, this is a wonderful opportunity that God is giving us. It's a precious blessing. Christ gave his life for it. God was willing to give his son for everyone. But it's for us now and for those whom God calls. If we understand this calling, if we made a commitment to this calling, we have a covenant with this calling. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold. Our faith, our calling, our obedience to God is more precious than gold. Take all the gold in the world. It's more precious than that. Do we look at it as that? Are we seeking riches in the world over the faith of implementing that into our lives? It's a question for each and every one of us. It's more precious than gold because gold eventually is going to perish. We live 70 years, give or take. Can't take it with you. And then we're judged. Though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing in our life today? Something that we can ask ourselves. I want to turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, because this is what, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road. We need to be seeking to be pure. We can't do it on our own. When Satan is being sly and he's attacking, we need to be going to God. We need to be fasting, drawing closer to God, getting rid of Satan, getting rid of pointing the finger at our brothers and sisters, seeking a better relationship with everyone. Hebrews 4, we'll read verses 11 through, we'll just read 11 through 16. It says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. We want to be in God's kingdom. We want eternal life. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful. So the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God opens us up. He slices and dices us to show us where we're wrong, what we need to be doing. Are we pricked? Are we moved to do what is right, to fall on our knees and repent and ask for help? And there is no creature, another word we're talking about here, there's no converted person. It's talking about the converted person. And there's no converted person and is hidden from his sight. We can't hide. He knows everything that's going on. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have such a high great priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, right? Our calling. Yeah, we want to hold fast to that. Because God is going to give us eternity, give us everything that he has. He's just saying, hey, listen, Satan is so sly and cunning. He thinks, you think you want to follow him, but that is the wrong way. I'm your dad. You are parents. You have children. You're guiding them. You're leading them. You're telling them what to do, and they're constantly disobeying you, and you keep pushing them back. Oh, I'm a little child, and I know what's better. I don't want to listen to my mom and dad. I'm going to sneak around. I'm going to go to this party, or I'm going to go do this, or I'm going to get on my computer, or I'm going to go watch TV. There's a reason to listen to God. Who is wanting the little child? Who is wanting us to disobey God? It's Satan. He doesn't want us to have eternal life. He wants us to have eternal death. He wants us to be destroyed. Satan. says, for we do not have a high priest. Christ was willing to die. I'm showing you how much this way is so much better. I'm willing to die for it. I'm willing to die for you. I'm willing to give it myself. I'm willing to follow my Father. And this is what I want you to do. And you can do it with our help. Just gotta have faith. We exist. We're here. Implement it into your life. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He sympathizes. He knows Satan is more powerful than us, but was in all points tempted as we are, but he never sinned. We do. And he's so merciful, willing to forgive us our sins. We're so merciful, willing to work with our children and to keep forgiving them and wanting to give them good things. And they keep messing up. We keep messing up. We don't give up. We keep teaching. We keep loving. We want the best for them. God wants the best for us. He's not giving up. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Coming boldly to that throne of favor. God's favor. He wants to give it to us. That we may obtain mercy. And be able to extend that mercy. We talked about that not too long ago. And find favor or find grace to help us in time of need. And we have always have needs. We always need God's help. And he's there. He's like a big daddy wrapping his arms around us. Let's just not listen to Satan and push him away. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. You know, God's Holy Spirit, you go into John chapter 15, John chapter 16, different places in the gospel, that his Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. God's mind, who he is, he leads us into all truth. Satan doesn't. He leads us into all lies. He's a murderer from the beginning. Adam and Eve didn't care about them. A murderer. Oh, he was sly. He was cunning. He had a conversation. Oh, but in the back of his, on his mind, forefront of his mind, he wanted them dead. He doesn't want to see any good happen to them. He doesn't want to see any good happen to the human race. We really need to understand that. And when we disobey God, we're listening to him. We're falling right into his snare, right into his trap. And God says, no, I want to pull you out of that trap. No, you don't need to go down that road. This is the best road. But you know what? It is very difficult for us to overcome Satan. In the millennium, Satan's not going to be around. So much easier for people to overcome then. The white throne judgment, Satan's not going to be around. So much easier for them to be able to overcome. But you know what? The reward is greater for you. And you. And you. And you. And me. The opportunity to be God. Be married to God, to live for eternity. James chapter 4, says, James 4 verse 7, therefore submit to God. What does submit mean? What does submit mean? We are required to submit to God. What's your understanding of submit? We are subject. We are subject to either God or Satan. You are subject to your employer. I'm subject to my wife. My wife is subject to me. We're subject to God. We are required to obey him. It means to obey. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We resist Satan in everything. Guess what? We have to choose that. We choose to obey God. We choose to be good. We choose to flee. We choose to hate evil. We choose to ask God to show us all evil and help us to overcome it. So we're not deceived. Brethren, so we're not deceived. If we're not asking for God to show us the right way to live and what to do to overcome, we're allowing Satan to deceive us. Don't be afraid. God is merciful. He's loving. He's a parent. He wants to give us everything. Don't let Satan take it away from us. And be afraid to ask God to show us where we're wrong. What can we do better? That I can be a better person to you, God, to demonstrate your love so that you may be glorified, so that I can extend that mercy to everyone around me, so that you can be glorified. Satan doesn't want God glorified. Satan doesn't want us glorifying God. Submit to God is what we're encouraged to do. And resist the devil, as it says, and he will flee from you. Oh, if we submit to God, do what he says, Satan has no more pull on us. We won't be deceived. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw means to fully commit. Fully commit. Not just partially. Not just do what we know, what is evil, what is easy for us to see, but to dig deep into who we are, to let God slice and dice us and open us up. And we must be willing to see where we're wrong, and God will give us comfort and help us to change. Are we willing? Am I willing? It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. I'm pointing the finger at you because you're a sinner. Cleanse the hands. Wash them. Ask God to help us to not be pointing the finger, to not be gossiping, to not be causing division, to not be a hypocrite. Cleanse your hands. We're sinners. We do things we don't even know we're doing. We have hidden sins, as David tells us. And purify your core, your character, through the Holy Spirit, is what he's saying. You double-minded. We can't be just saying that this is evil and that's evil, but I'm still a pretty good person. No, we're not. Only if God is in us, only if we're repenting and changing, God gets all the credit. God gets all the credit. Our ethics are not God's ethics. Because of Adam and Eve and their sins, we are on the same path as well. But God is pulling us away from that. He's given us that opportunity to live a godly life now. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. So if we're laughing and think we're okay, no. Change that to mourning, because we're not. We need God constantly if we're not wanting to seek God's way of life. And your joy to gloom. Now there's a time for the right joy, but not the wrong joy. Our focus should be wanting to become like God. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's what he's wanting, for us to humble ourselves. You can have joy and humility. We can have laughter and humility. Now, I would say that when we read the Bible, we want the Bible to open up to us. We read it to learn, to allow Scripture to show us what we need to be doing. And not be concerned with all the evil around us. As a sidebar, regarding princes, kings, rulers. Now, I know people who voted in UCG for Mr. Biden, And I know some who voted for Mr. Trump. Well, who did God want in charge? Did you vote against God? How do you know who God wants in charge? Do we even know that maybe God says, you know what, I really don't want anyone in charge. I'm just going to let it happen. Could that be a possibility? We know God's plan is going to be worked out, without a doubt. Let me read to you Hosea chapter 8, verse 4. Hosea 8, 4. God is not happy with Israel. He says, they set up kings, but not by me. Yeah, they're seeking rulers, but they're not confiding in me. They made princes, but I did not acknowledge them. This is Satan's world. It's Satan's society. God knows what he's doing. He's telling us what to do. Let's not get off track. Remember what Jesus Christ told Pilate? And Pilate says, hey, I have the authority to release you. I have the authority. And Christ says, you'd have no authority unless God gave it to you. I don't know who God wants to be president. I don't know who he wants to be what party to rule. Maybe he does. Maybe he's just allowing it. He knows what's going to happen and it's all going to work out. We'll find out. But he sets up kings and he takes away kings. Scripture tells us that as well. We need to put God's wisdom into action. That's the most important part. James 3:17. Let me read it to you. James 3:17. But wisdom that is from above is first pure. Our wisdom is from above. We become pure. We become like God. We shun evil. We're not a part of it. We don't promote it. This world is evil. It's Satan's society. And it's running amok. Then it's peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. We don't see that in society today, do we? Romans 2, 10 and 11 says, there is no partiality with God. None. What about us? What about focusing on that? I have to ask myself that. You know, God tells us over in Deuteronomy chapter 16, 18, that he gave Israel righteous judges. He gave them judges to be righteous, to judge righteously the poor and the rich. The young and the old don't show any partiality. Isn't that important to look at in our lives? Instead of getting involved into the world, allowing Satan to allow us to get off track? You know, some of the things that we can put into action, some of the things that we can look at. There's many things as you read the Bible and we seek out God, we pray to God before we read the Bible. We pray to God when we have questions, and we can pray to him as we're reading. We can pray to him when we're done, and we can meditate on that, and things will come up. Things will come up that we're to love one another. That means to not ignore anyone. Are we ignoring people? Who might I be ignoring? God's not partial. He tells us to not be partial. We're not to look down on others. Am I looking down on others? Is that something that Satan is just, God will understand. Yeah, he'll understand. Is he putting that into our mind? Ephesians 2, verse 2, the prince, the power of the air. Are we allowing it? What about favoritism? Oh, I favor this person or that person. There's nothing wrong that you can have a best friend. Are we going out of our way to each and every individual in this congregation, no matter who they are? We can ask ourselves that. No one should be left out. There shouldn't be any divisions amongst us. Look what happens when there is. It goes further out. Satan's very sly, very clever. He'll give you the reason why you should do it. We're listening to evil when we do that. Shun it. Everyone in here, everyone in the world, God died for. Don't shun anyone. We of the body of Christ should be the last of shunning anyone in here. Even in our own families, we have to look at it. You can go through the scriptures. When we've seen favoritism in the family, we've seen how it harmed the whole family, not just the individual who wasn't loved as much, but we should love everyone equally. Our children growing up, equally. And even our fellowship. I try, but I don't succeed to get around to talk to everyone. I try. But we should do the same. We should be willing to fellowship with everyone. No one should be left out, intentionally or unintentional. We go out of the way. We know, if you look at the world is very partial, and we're trying to save it. Many of us in the church are trying to save it. Save a society that is so partial, and God is not partial. There's ethnic preferences, gender biases, religious discrimination, favoritism, social economic class discrimination. People are always ready to judge. Our government is so ready to judge before they even have all of the facts. What about us? Someone starts talking, and before they even finish speaking, we're so easily to come up with our side, a judgment, without hearing the whole side. God tells us to be, we read the Bible, be quick to hear, slow to speak. And I have to work on that. Think about it. And don't get angry. Slow to anger. Don't hate anyone. Hate the sin. God is superior, and he wants all people to be in his kingdom. He wants every one of you to be in his kingdom. God, if he came into this room today, is going to love everyone equally. He's not going to leave anyone out. He wants the best for us all. And society can influence us and how we treat one another. But that's only if we allow it. That's only if we allow Satan to enter our mind and for us to implement it. So when we read the Bible and we look at God's word, you know, Satan is partial. We can read the Bible and say, hey, how can I learn to not be partial? How can I learn to be like God? You know, again, Satan is very subtle. We need God's perspective in our lives. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy. This is going to be the last scripture I turn to. I'll refer to a couple more, but we're almost done. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And regarding being partial. First Timothy chapter 5. I mean, this is very exciting, brethren, for God to be here and opening our eyes to see. He wants to save us. Look at it from that perspective. Satan is going to cloud our minds if we allow him to do it. Oh, you want to obey God? That's such a burden. He's there doing it. Satan tempts. God does not. God cannot tempt us to sin, but Satan does. 1 Timothy 5:21. Paul is saying, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Don't show any prejudice. When someone feels bad and they're hurting, let's not tell them, well, you're not hurting. No, they're hurting. There's something wrong. We're there to comfort, to help, to encourage, not to judge, not to rush and jump in and fix it. Those are things that we can look at when we read the Bible. Now, Psalm 23, read that. Who guides us? Who leads us? The Good Shepherd. Who comforts us? Who cares for us? Who directs us? Who teaches us? Through all evil. Through all the society, that's what we should be looking at. Should be trying to save it. We should be trying to come out of it. Read Psalm chapter 23. It's only a handful of verses. And then read Philippians 4, verse 5 through 9. What brings peace? That's what we've been talking about today. So what is evil? Well, we're not to be of the world, right? Satan is evil. God is good. Evil is all around us. Satan is all around us. It's his world. It's his society. We're to come out of it. It's present with us. It wants us to do evil. But God can help us to do good. Evil is sin, and it comes in all forms, doesn't it? Forms that we can see and forms that we can't. But God is asking us to see all those forms and to get rid of it. Satan is subtle. He doesn't want us to. The walls of Jericho are strong and fortified, and no one could break in. Only God can. Only God can help us to overcome sin. Only God can help us to overcome Satan, those pulls, those evils. We can't do it on our own. We can't lean to our understanding as Satan wants us to do. The Bible tells us what we need to do. Let's not lean to our understanding that's contrary to God's word, because that is evil. That's not doing good. You know, God tells us to pray to be delivered from evil. That's one thing we can do. Look at the model prayer in Matthew and Luke. Let me read to you Matthew 6:13. Because God is saying, or Jesus Christ is saying, pray to the Father. And this is the outline that you should pray. This is the outline. We just don't read it word for word, but it's an outline, and it just magnifies as we continue in it. Matthew 6:13, and do not lead us into temptation. Don't allow Satan to lead us into temptation. There's a scripture where God says he cannot tempt. Can't think of it at the moment. But lead us not into temptation. Don't allow Satan to get to us. Help us, not just forgiving us of our sins, but help us as the congregation. Lead us not into temptation. Help us to care for one another, to love one another, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And help me to see the evil that I do not see. See, we can magnify that. We can grow in that understanding. But deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from Satan who wants to tempt us. Deliver us from wanting to be like him. Help us to overcome him, because I can't do it without you. He's too sly. He's too crafty. But we understand it, that he wants to murder us, just like he was set out to do with Adam and Eve in the beginning. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Okay, so here, James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Satan is the one who's doing it. He's the one who's getting us to think that God's way is hard. It's a burden. Ask God to help us to overcome them, to not think like that. Let's not listen to them. Adam and Eve should have ran to eat from the tree of life that was being offered to them. Let's not lean to our understanding. Let's not be deceiving ourselves and deciding what's right and wrong. Because if we do, we're going to be misled. We need to go before God and ask him to guide and lead us. Because we have no qualifications to be deciding for ourselves what's right and wrong. We don't have that. Only God does. And we need him. So let's be seeking God. And let's be overcoming Satan. And again, let's be seeking to do good and overcome evil.